ABC News.
A survey has revealed people on JobSeeker are living on as little as $7 a day after paying rent. Now, Anglicare has been speaking with people who have received Centrelink payments over the winter and spring and discovered some are skipping meals because they just don't have money for food. Joining us now is Casey Chambers, Anglicare Australia's Executive Director. Can you tell us more about this survey? Who did you speak to and what did you find?
Yeah, of course. Well, we thought we heard an awful lot about welfare benefits from really both sides of politics and people in business and Centrelink themselves. So we thought we'd ask those who actually knew about them. We went to people who'd been living on them. And we actually talked to people who'd been on this particular job seeker payment whilst it's gone through all its iterations in the last year. Listeners might remember that it doubled at the start of the COVID pandemic and has since been getting lower and lower again. So what we did find was that people who had been on that benefit before the payment was increased, before the government made that really fantastic move in March and doubled the payment, and when we spoke to people about that time, we found that, and this is probably what shocked me the most, we found that 41% of those people had less than $50 a week left after they paid their rent. And 59% had less than $100 left.
So
after
how are they getting by?
Well, these are the people that we see every week in our emergency relief service. I also have to say, if anyone's looking for a chief financial officer or a financial whiz kid, these people are the most amazing people at budgeting. But they do skip meals. So people in the survey told us 72% of them told us they were skipping meals every week, and the usual amount was about 3 to 4 meals a week. People are couch surfing in 1 in 10 people were telling us. And we also know people get into, you know, dreadful loans with people like payday lenders because, of course, if you've only got $50 a week left after your rent, the banks and more responsible lenders aren't going to come near you. So, you know, we see people who've really, they've pawned every precious personal or sold possession they've got. They're not going to doctors if they're unwell. They're not having dental treatment for a decade at a time. The children are going to school in secondhand school uniforms, school books, things like that, and school excursions are just completely off the books.
It is fair, though, and you do acknowledge that increases to the JobKeeper payments this year, they did make a significant difference, didn't they?
Oh, they surely did. So in March, the government took a look at the pandemic, realised that there were going to be a lot more people on JobSeeker, and doubled the payment. And the other effect that had, of course, was it acted as a stimulus payment. It kept a lot of our small businesses and, you know, even landlords going over that time. And we wrote to every politician about this report yesterday to really point out that not only is that higher rate good for families and households, but it really is probably what kept a lot of communities ticking over. So it did double. That was fantastic. We spoke to people who told us things like they hadn't had to feed their kids savings brand 2-minute noodles for dinner for weeks since they got the new payment. They'd been able to buy their kids new shoes for school.
Yeah.
Our financial counsellors were able to work with people to get them through some really long-term debt. So that was really good. But our issue now is that we're coming into those payments are now decreasing and there's a bit by bit being snipped off it.
Yes.
And that is landing people back in trouble again.
Now, when it comes to sort of getting these payments, there are different parts of the Centrelink system, obligations, if you like, to help people find paid work. What did people say about having to meet those Centrelink obligations?
Well, people were overwhelmingly dissatisfied with the type of support that they got from Centrelink to assist them in finding work. The mutual obligation, as it's called, people found pretty dispiriting, not helpful. And I really want to, before we sort of go down this track, to really point out another finding. These weren't people that just didn't want to do things for their income.
Yes.
They wanted to. They really, an overwhelming number wanted to undertake activities with Centrelink that were absolutely geared and aimed to helping them find work. So when we asked them, you know, to agree or disagree with a statement that they would they wanted to do activities with Centrelink that would lead to paid work. Only 8% disagreed with that statement.
So is it the issue that, is your issue then that the mechanisms that are in place and the fact that, that in your view they're simply not effective?
That's right. They're very, very seldom linked to real paid work outcomes. So there's often people speak about a treadmill of training courses that don't lead to jobs in there, you know, that aren't geared for jobs that are available in their area or that are not geared to jobs that they have the aptitude or skills for. The things around, you know, applying for X number of jobs a week. And if the jobs aren't there in a regional area or, you know, particularly at the moment when we know that the job seekers far, far, far outweigh the available jobs, that's pretty dispiriting. You know, we frequently talk to people who've applied for hundreds upon hundreds of jobs and never heard back from any of them. That coupled with missing meals, coupled with some of the attitudes that we hear, particularly from politicians, unfortunately, towards job seekers, that doesn't really put you in a place where you're feeling positive, where you're, you know, ready and able to pick yourself up and get out there and you know, take part in a job when one is available.
Yeah, and you've called this a scandal, particularly the idea of skipping meals each week on these low payments. I mean, what changes are you calling for then? Because these are extraordinary times. You have acknowledged that the government did act, it did raise that payment, which a lot of people are saying just could not be raised forever. What do you think can realistically happen here to change the situation?
Well, we are calling for the rate to be placed at and be pegged at a level above the poverty line. We think it is a scandal to have, you know, people who are looking for work. And I should add, there's over 1 million Australian children living in households that are dependent on this job seeker payment, which is due to go down again on the 1st of January and then again at the end of March. So, there's whole families living on this. Yes, it's a lot of money. We were able to do it when the cards were down. Mm. Everybody has been calling for this. You know, the Business Council, OECD, you know, business leaders. Everyone can see that not only is it in our interests to not have citizens living so far below the poverty line that they can't, you know, make basic meals, but it's not in the interest of business either. You know, that money in people with the lowest incomes pockets gets right back out in that community again. And yes, it is a lot of money, but I really want to point out that these are choices that we make. You know, we did some modelling the year before last and looked at the amount of money, for example, that we pay into superannuation concessions for, you know, people on the highest incomes, into things like negative gearing. Mm. And, you know, in that modelling, which was done for us by an economic think tank, there was $68.5 billion went through those kind of tax and transfers. And 135 of that went to the top 20% of people. So we do have choices about how we spend this money. We're just saying we really should, as a country, we can clearly do it. The government doubled that, and that was just fantastic. It made such a difference to people, and we need to peg that in and peg it in for good.
Okay, Casey Chambers, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate
it. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
Casey Chambers there, the Executive Director of Anglicare Australia.